Good morning. Will you turn to Revelation chapter 12, please? Revelation 12. This is called the other nativity scene and how we got into holy war. The other nativity scene and how we got into holy war. At Christmas time, we set up nativity scenes in our home. We have two. One is Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus in a shed. Mary's on her knees, facing the baby. There are some sheep resting there. Baby Jesus has a halo. And the other scene has Mary and Joseph and three wise men and one shepherd all on their knees worshiping the baby. A sheep and a goat are lying down and resting. In Revelation, there are just two in the nativity scene, and it has a different feel to it. So we're going to read all of Revelation 12 now. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman was clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. And then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation, and the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury when he knows that, because he knows his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. And then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river, to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and who hold fast their testimony about Jesus. The Queen of Heaven. The first verse says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This is an astonishing and magnificent heavenly woman. Her sun is her robe, a remarkable picture. The moon is her footstool, and she has a crown of 12 stars. She is a sign, a symbol, which means she's not an actual woman. It's not Mary. It's actually us. It's the church. It's the bride of Christ. A Jewish believer in one of John's churches in Asia would immediately assume the woman was Israel, and that believer would be right. The Old Testament prophets often spoke of Israel as God's wife, and the 12 stars in her crown would be the 12 tribes of Israel. But by the end of Revelation 12, we read that the woman has other children, and those other children are those who obey God and hold on to the testimony about Jesus. So that would be us. And her children include Gentile believers. So the woman is the bride of Christ. The woman is God's faithful people through all of history, faithful Israel and Gentile believers. And each one of us individually are her children. And this heavenly woman was having particularly difficult birth pains. Some childbirths are longer and more difficult than others, and this woman's labor seems to be one of those long, hard ones. The NIV softens this. She was crying out in the agony of birth. God's people had a long and difficult time before this child was actually born. The ruling dragon, and then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. The seven heads with 7 crowns mean the dragon is also a royal character of some kind, a princely being. The dragon is a ruler, and the 10 horns mean great strength. The dragon destroys. It swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. The dragon is a symbol for Satan, for the devil, and we learn that in verse 9. Some think these stars refer to fallen angels, to spiritual beings that God created to serve him, but who turned away to serve Satan. That is probably true. It may not be. Either way, the dragon sweeps down one third of the stars. The dragon has enormous destructive power. The woman was clothed with God's heavenly creation, and the dragon attacked and destroyed creation, and that's the real point. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. And now we have John's nativity scene. The heavenly woman was pregnant and crying out in birth pangs and the agony of giving birth, and the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Now you capture that in a picture, in a painting, and put that on the front of a Christmas card. That's the nativity scene. She gave birth to a son, the ruling son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. This line, "will rule all the nations with an iron scepter," quotes from Psalm 2, which is a psalm predicting the Messiah, the descendant of David. So we know who the child is. It's the coming Christ that Psalm 2 described, who is also Jesus of Nazareth, which we all knew anyway. But now we can see why the dragon wants to devour the child. The dragon has heads and crowns. The dragon plans to rule the nations with an iron scepter. But this child is destined to rule the nations with an iron scepter. Therefore, the dragon must, absolutely must, destroy that child. Who will rule the nations? Only one of those two, either that child or that dragon. The dragon will rule only if he destroys that child. The woman, the people of God, is in terrible labor pains, trying to produce her child that will rule the nations. The dragon, the enemy of God, is waiting for the birth because he plans to rule the nations, and he must, at all costs, destroy that child. And for the woman, the child has to succeed. If the dragon destroys the child, the people of God are lost. The people of God versus the enemy of God, only one will survive in the end, and their conflict is centered on this child. The woman is in great pain, trying desperately to produce the child. The dragon is close by and alert, needing desperately to destroy the child, and that is the nativity scene. Her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and about 35 years later, he ascended to God and to his throne, and John packs those 35 years into a moment. He was born, and he was snatched up to God. So in this picture, the whole time of Jesus' life on earth is a time of great danger and vulnerability. That whole time, the dragon is trying to devour the child. Snatched up to God. I get the feeling that God and all of heaven was so much relieved to get this important child out of harm's way into a place of safety. Great relief in heaven. And also for the woman. Her child is safe. That's us. See, the dragon is not just Herod trying to kill baby Jesus. The dragon is doing all he can through the whole life of Jesus to destroy Jesus or get him off track. And at the end, Satan fills Judas's heart to betray Jesus. Satan was sure he had finally succeeded. But Satan was destroyed by the humble obedience of Jesus to death. Satan did not see that coming. The protected woman. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of. In Exodus, God led Israel out of Egypt into the desert. In the desert, Israel was safe from Egypt. And that's the picture here. The woman and we, the church, or the woman, flees into the wilderness just as Israel fled Egypt. And as God cared for Israel in the wilderness, so God cares for the woman, his people, his bride, his church. Then there's battle in heaven. Until the child was taken into heaven, until God seated the risen Jesus on his right hand, Satan and his angels had some kind of position or access to the dwelling of God. And after the child was taken up to the throne of God, there was a battle. Michael and his angels against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon and his angels lost. They were thrown down to earth in defeat. When Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and was invited to sit at God's right hand, there was a huge shift of power in the realm of spiritual beings, good and bad, angels and evil spirits and principalities and powers and authorities. The dark side at that time suffered a great defeat, one from which that side will never recover. And that happened when the child was taken up. Victory on earth. Verse 11 tells us how we ourselves overcome the dragon, the accuser. This line tells us how to win the holy war we are in. Three things. They triumphed over him. One, by the blood of the Lamb. Two, by the word of their testimony. Three, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So we conquer, first of all, because Jesus died for us. Second, we conquer by the word of our testimony. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, and he has full rights to my life. That is our testimony, and we will not let go. Three, we will stick with these even in the face of death. That's our victory. The chase. The dragon tried to destroy the child, but failed. The dragon tried to keep his place in God's dwelling, and that failed too. He was thrown down, so he pursues the woman who bore the child. We were told earlier that the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared by God so she would be safe. And now that gets repeated in different words. God gave the woman the wings of an eagle so she could escape by flying into the wilderness and be safe from the dragon. This was God's basic covenant offer to Israel back in Exodus 19. God said to Israel, "You have seen how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." That's what's happening here. The dragon produces a river out of his mouth to drown the woman. What kind of a river would come out of the dragon's mouth? We just read, the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before God day and night. He can no longer accuse before God in the same way, but he still accuses and slanders us. He tells us lies about ourselves, and he tells the world lies about ourselves. That's the river. He deceives people. We read earlier, he leads the whole world astray. He deceives people. But listen, he's doing it to destroy the woman, and it won't work. The earth swallows the river. The earth itself is on our side. In Numbers 16, some rebellious Israelites falsely accused Moses and attacked him. The next day, the earth opened, swallowed those people, and then closed up. The lies and false accusations will not work. Jesus said in Matthew that the armies of hell would not overcome his church. God will see to it that the church survives. And then we have the woman's children. The dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So the dragon, the ancient serpent, known as the devil or Satan, is at war with you and me because he is enraged. His rage comes from four great losses that he has suffered. One, he tried to destroy the child, but he failed. The child who will rule the earth is safe with God. Two, he tried in battle to keep his place in heaven, but he failed and was thrown down. Three, he has tried to destroy the woman, but he cannot. She is safe and he cannot destroy her. Four, his time is short. He is doomed and he knows it. And his time is short. And all he has left is a brief, frantic, furious time of going after her children. And that is us. And that is how the Christmas child got us into holy war. There's much protection going on. We are being shielded. Nevertheless, this war affects our lives every day. Jesus told Peter, for example, Satan asked to test you, Peter, but I prayed that your faith would not fail. When you turn around, strengthen your brothers. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he tried and again to come visit them, but Satan blocked his way. So he wrote the letter instead and he sent Timothy to visit. Satan does not just persecute us. He does all kinds of things. Paul tells the Corinthians that his thorn in the flesh, some kind of painful trial that tormented him, was a messenger of Satan. He asked the Lord to remove it, but the Lord said it was better for his power and work to leave it. None of this alarms Paul. It's just the way it is. The Lord is in charge and the Lord does what he wants. There is no prayer trick or claiming the victory that will stop this. If there was, Paul would know it. But make no mistake, people, the dragon is at war with us, and it's good to know. And it shapes our lives. Don't forget it. Peter says, Satan is always prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, says Peter. Stand firm in the faith. James says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. So that's where we are. And we know what to do about it. The woman's child got us all into this. But listen, the woman's child will get us out. And the woman's child protects us now. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, we remember the birth of Jesus, the child you promised, that you promised would rule the nations, the child you promised would rule your people and your kingdom forever. Thank you that he is safe and his time of danger is over. And thank you that as you cared for Israel in the wilderness and carried them on eagle's wings, so also you care for your people now we who are your bride, and we have those same wings. O Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.